The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 28th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
To Women's Spaces, my name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
So how are you feeling this morning, driving from Santa Rosa, knowing half of our city is on fire?
Well, it's not that. It's not half the city. Not half the city is on fire.
Oh, just little regions, but it feels that way. It feels like we're in this situation that is just amazing. I mean, for those of you out there listening, if you're sitting in a chair, just sit back and relax. Take this hour to just enjoy the show. You know, try to get your mind off of the craziness that's going on around us. I mean, it's just amazing. I've been thinking a lot about it. I mean, my daughter lives over in Rincon Valley, and their home is threatened, and people are going through all kinds of different experiences. But for this hour, let's just try to relax and sit back and enjoy the show. I have a very special guest with me this morning. Joining me on the phone, working from her home, will be Janine Murray, who's the executive director of Sonoma County Go Local, and that's what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about the value of going local, and one of the things that's happening right now that I'm noticing more than ever is, in spite of all the stuff that's happening around us, there's so much healing going on, and so many opportunities to be a good neighbor, to reach out, to take care of each other, you know, to give each other a positive note, a little elbow. I mean, my goodness, last night when I found out my daughter had to evacuate immediately, and all of a sudden I just went stone cold. Like, I couldn't even function. And for some miracle, you know, my ex-sister-in-law, Valerie, ended up coming over and spending the evening with me. And we tapped and we talked and we cried a little bit. But it really helped. Community helps. Getting together with somebody, picking up the phone and calling a friend, seeing how they're doing, you know. I've been canning during all this craziness. And I noticed just having being in touch with nature is so helpful. I mean, we are blessed that we have so many beautiful flowers in our backyard. Going out and cutting a flower and bringing it into the house and looking to nature and to see how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is that we live in among this miracle. And you know, right now we're facing many, many challenges. And the biggest challenge is that we have to look at our world and we have to say, uh-oh, something's not here, something's happening. We need to make some changes, and we need to get to know one another better and work together much better. So that's a lot to think about. For another part of the show, the first part of the show, I'm going to do something very special. You know, we had the 100th anniversary of since women got the vote, and we were honoring all kinds of women and all kinds of local women, and at the Petaluma Museum had a wonderful, wonderful events, Sonoma County Museum. They're all, if you go on their websites, they have all kinds of virtual tours that you can see all the different exhibitions. And I was so proud of myself because actually Women's Spaces was honored as a pioneer in radio. But you know, I'm a pioneer on another level. And that was when I went to Sonoma State in 1975. The students voted me to be the first woman student, member of Women's Studies, to be one of the key speakers at the graduation. And I'm going to share that speech with you. It's very interesting. My dear friend Eugene Maharis passed away. And when I went to his, Eugene and I served on a board in Sonoma State when we went together as students. And when I went to his memorial and met his family, I said, you know, I've got to go and I've got to show you all the different articles that were written on about Eugene and about myself when we were going to Sonoma State. And I get to the library, you know, doing some research, and I go to the research desk, and all of a sudden the librarian looks at me and says, you know, your voice is familiar. Did you go to Sonoma State? And I says, yeah, I graduated in 1975. Really? She said, did you speak I said, well, yes, I spoke at my graduation. I was one of the lead speakers. She says, you're not going to believe it. There was a box under this old desk, all full of dust and everything. We pulled it out, and there was all the audios from 73, 74, 75 graduation speeches. And I was able to get a copy. What a moment that was. You know, you tell your grandkids, you tell your kids, which, I mean, my daughter knew because she was there. She was actually, I believe, 12 years old at the time. I mean, I was a single parent when I went back to school, and there was her mother talking in front of a group of over 5,000 people with her own mother out in the audience with tears coming down her eyes like you could not believe. So I'm going to share that speech with you. It's 6 minutes long, but I hope it inspires. I really do. I hope it uplifts you because as women, we've been struggling for a long time. For hundreds of years, we're still struggling. I mean, look what's going on. I mean, everything's on the line right now. But right now, we really have to cope with all these fires and all this stuff that's going on. So let's just relax, take a deep breath. I mean, I'm trying to relax. Let me tell you something. This is very traumatic. You know, don't kid yourself. But at the same time, you can change your mind. You can look at the beauty of the day. You can look at a plant. You can look at your child. You can look at a beautiful vase in your home and just admire it, appreciate it. Appreciate what's around you. You know, and thank the Creator for another day of life. And we will get through this. You know, I think of our ancestors coming out of caves and walking across the continent. Didn't even know what they're gonna meet. You know, a saber-toothed tiger, I mean, a big elephant, you know, a tiger. Who knows what was going to befall them. And remember, they didn't have guns. They had little spears if they had that much. So human beings have always been struggling with challenges. And this is just another challenge. And today we have a lot of technology that can warn us of dangers. I mean, I'm driving to the studio. We had about 5 warnings. It was amazing. The last fire, we had nothing. So we really improved our systems, which shows how human beings do always come to the plate and something new always comes forward. Well, I have a special announcement. You know, we're having an election coming up, and on October 2nd, this is very important, from 6:30 p.m. to probably around 8, there's going to be a Zoom sponsored by Friends of the Arlene Francis Center, and they're hosting it, and it's going to be a discussion on Measure P. It's going to be community Q&A, and it's also going to be a fundraiser for the Arlene Francis Center. I mean, we're all suffering. You know, the Arlene Francis Centers is one of our hubs, you know, and it's a good time to support them. And they're going to be having this Zoom. And all the information will be on our website, www.womenspaces.com. And also will be on Measure P's Facebook page. So let me tell you a little bit about Measure P. Measure P is on the November ballot, and it is designed to increase the ability for the IOLERA, which is the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, to provide transparent and effective oversight of our Sheriff's Department. IOLERA was established in 2016. It was a miracle, let me tell you, folks. I was very much a part of this. As a result of the community courage after 13-year-old Andy Lopez was gunned down by Deputy Sheriff Eric Gelhaus, this past year has shown us repeatedly why, more than ever, we need independent, effective oversight on our Sheriff's Department. Leading the discussion, which is going to be very interesting, is a woman by the name of Colleen O'Neill, and John Mutz will also be there. And one of the things that's interesting about John Mutz, he ran for sheriff against Essex, and unfortunately, I don't know how to say it, we're not supposed to support. Listen, the views expressed here are not necessarily the views of KBBF, just remember that. Anyway, John Mutz ran for sheriff against Mr. Essex, who's now our sheriff. There'll be a forum of community questions and answers, as well as performances by local artists Bruce Speaks, The Crux, Krista Cook, Kia Shola, and Sierra Camille. Oh, these are wonderful, wonderful entertainers. And anyone can volunteer there. They can make a donation. And if you want to find more information, go to SOCO, that's S-O-C-O, EffectiveOverallSite.org. That's S-O-C-O-E-F-F-E-C-T-I-V-E-O-V-E-R-S-I-G-H-T.org. And all this information, plus the codes for the Zoom and everything, is going to be on their website as well as on Women's Spaces. So I really encourage people to, to go ahead and listen. Get educated. Find out what's true. I mean, I can't believe I read the voter's guide. And I was thinking to myself, my God, you need a higher – I have a master's degree and I'm confused. Please. We need to educate ourselves. Get together in groups. Talk about the initiatives. Talk about Measure P. Talk about what's going on in the community. Make an informed decision. You know, it's interesting. If you don't vote, your vote doesn't count. And since it's been about 40 years now, we've heard over and over, "Oh, your vote doesn't count. I'm not gonna vote. It doesn't count." Well, you know, folks, it does count. It does count. I remember there was an election, I believe it was Healdsburg, and the candidate lost by something like 40 votes. 40 people didn't show up. You know, it's very important that we vote. And if our vote didn't count, hey, guys, they wouldn't be doing all this work to try to oppress it and try to stop us from voting. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, another thing that's happening on this show, it's the last Monday of the month, so we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. But first, what I want to go through real quickly is, I always talk about our history is our strength. Why do I say that? Why do I bring this up? Because when we hear what women before us accomplished in the struggles that they came through, it gives us confidence, it gives us courage, and it gives us the knowledge that things pass. We go through cycles of frustration, cycles of peace, cycles of tranquility, cycles of chaos. You know, right now we're in a cycle of, I don't know. You know, maybe right now we're just looking at our planet and saying, wait a minute, what can I do? How can I help affect change? And come out of our head being in the sand and face it that we're in a global climate crisis. And that's part of what's happening. That's part of what created the pandemic. That's part of what's creating these wildfires. So there's a lot of work us humans have to do on this planet. And we have to keep our spirits high. We can't be defeated. You know, it's easy to get discouraged. Look at your children. Look at your grandchildren. Come to the plate for them. Come to the plate for their future. Well, our history is our strength, and we had some great, great things happen. On September 25th, 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor is sworn in as the first woman United States Supreme Court Justice. In 1981, I remember that day like it was yesterday. You know, being involved in women's studies and all the things that I did around women's issues and continue to do over the years, when we had a woman on the Supreme Court, we thought it was going to change things. Well, things got a little bit rougher in some levels. Then on September 26, 1971, Representative Shirley Chisholm from New York announced that she will enter the Democratic presidential primaries. Oh, my God, what an honor that was. One of the first, an African-American woman, a woman of color running for president, and she was dynamic. On some levels, though, when I watched some of the films and some of the documentaries, you know, Shirley Chisholm felt maybe she was abandoned at some time, but she kept her spirits up and she kept her voice. She kept her voice constantly. And then another thing happened. In 1988, on September 29th, okay, Stacy Allison becomes the first American woman to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Can you believe it? The first woman in 1988. If that isn't exciting, I don't know what else. I mean, so many wonderful things that we have to be proud of. And remember, these are overcoming obstacles. I couldn't believe during the Republican convention, I actually heard a woman telling me that my husband is the one that makes the decisions for me. I mean, we fought too long and too hard to get choice for women, and we have to continue that fight, unfortunately. It's never settled. It's never settled. You know, there are powers that be that do not want to see women having as much power as we're gaining, particularly now during this electrical cycle. Well, happy birthday now. Let's do a happy birthday, which is going to be September 30th. That's when this woman was born, 1875. So what we are today, September 28th. So in 2 days, it would have been her birthday. She was born in 1875, and she passed away in 1951. Anna Martin helped win equal suffrage in Nevada, Western suffrage. She was a Western suffrage leader. And she became the first woman to run for U.S. Senate in 1918. Now, that's 2 years before we got the vote. What courage. Well, happy birthday, Anna Martin. You definitely were a trailblazer for all of us. And we have to remember. We have to remember what it was like for us to get the vote. You know, we're in the middle of fires and we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we're not in a jail cell being force-fed or having to hold our hands up with our handcuffs. You know, I mean, can you imagine having to hold your hands up for hours with that much due to your shoulder blades and everything else? So we are going to get through this, and these are the women who came before us. And it's an amazing group, that's for sure. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I found this song by Nina Simone. I love Nina Simone. I wish in my lifetime I could have met her and just hugged her. I mean, she was such a talented woman and such a voice. I just loved her. Well, she made this song called I Shall Be Released. And the reason that I'm playing this is because when I did that graduation speech, I had just completed over 2 years of women's studies and finding out not only the power that I had as a woman, not only recognizing that I, as a woman, bring forth the future. I was given by the Creator, assigned by the Creator to bring the future in. But I also learned that I had a voice. And I was in the Women's Studies Department, and there was two sections. There was the office section where, God bless, shout out to my instructor, Ann Neal, if you're listening. She was one of the best advisors any woman could have. And then on the other side was the library. Well, I was doing some research, and I went into the library, and I heard these people talking about this woman. Oh, she's always got an opinion, and she's always saying this, and she's always saying that. And the next thing I knew, they were talking about me. Well, I was devastated. My feelings were hurt so deep, I remember starting to cry and going home, and I called my dear, dear friend who made her transition, Constance Stancliffe, and I'm going, oh, Connie, you know, this is what happened. I heard this horrible thing. And she said to me, she says, Elaine, you're out front. You have a voice. You're speaking out against injustice. You're speaking for women's rights. You're teaching a class, Survival as a Mother. Of course people are going to talk about you. You're not a boring person. You're an exciting person. You're making history. Of course they're going to say things about you. Take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it personally. And I took her advice, and I went on to graduate. And then in 1975, Marjorie Downing Wagner, the chancellor of Sonoma State, the president of Sonoma State, the first woman president of Sonoma State, of any UC system, decides that she wants to have students as speakers at a graduation, and a vote is taken, and I was voted to be the speaker representing women, the Women's Studies Department at Sonoma State. And if you listen very clearly, you'll see how I incorporated what happened to me when I was sitting in the library getting all that information and I heard those people talking about me. So let's go ahead. We're going to play I Shall Be Released, and that's how I feel. And then we come back. I will announce the graduation speech, and we will listen to it and take another musical break. In the meanwhile, give yourself a hug. Life's going to be okay. So let's go ahead, Ken, with I Shall Be Released by Nina Simone.
They say everything can be replaced. They say not near. So I remember every face of every man who put me here. I've seen my life come shining from the west down to the fall. So I swear I see my reflection somewhere inside these walls. I see my life come shining.
My goodness, you know, I could just hear Nina Simone saying, I will be free and Black Lives Matter. Oh, what a song that is. What a song that is. Well, for you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I'm going to indulge you and indulge myself a little bit. In 1975, I had the honor of graduating Sonoma State University. I got a bachelor's degree in sociology. I studied with Dr. Carl Jensen. He was a mentor, and Ann Neal, and she went on to do such great works. And Dr. Carl Jensen, he developed Project Censor that's been going on now for the last 35, 40 years. And it was just an honor to be there. And it was an honor to be chosen as one of the main speakers at my graduation in 1975. I was a sociology major, and also it was one of the most exciting times that I could think of. Actually, I taught a class called Survival as a Mother. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to the graduation speech, and then when we come back, we'll take another musical break and just enjoy it. And you will hear, I told the story before the break that I heard them talking about me, and you will hear me incorporating that in the speech. So let's go ahead. This is Elaine B. Pine. That's who I was then, a.k.a. Elaine B. Holtz, doing her graduation speech in June 1975 in front of 5,000 proud parents and friends. Let's go, Ken.
Before I start my speech, I feel we should all applaud ourselves for being here. This is our graduation. It's not just us who are up here to be applauded, but we should all applaud each other and our parents who made the long trip. I know my mother came from Los Angeles. That sound familiar? Graduating from Sonoma State means many things. Obtaining a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology indicates to me that I've been able to overcome a very negative part of my personality. That part that said, I have no right to believe I could meet academic challenges and complete goals. The part that said a woman of 30 was crazy to believe she could return to college and set goals for herself. The part that said a human being has no right to do something for themselves, for their own growth and development. Well, folks, here I am at 35, with 5 years of commitment and growth behind me, and I'm finally beginning to realize the rewards for believing in the human potential. Speaking in front of you means I have broken many of the chains of my past, those chains being ones of insecurities and fears that would forever dictate to me, those irrational fears that would tell me a human being should not expose themselves, because what they are exposing might be very negative. Therefore, don't even bother to take a chance. I remember once while talking to a woman I just met, who just expressed she was very glad to meet me. However, she was surprised I was so nice, since I had a reputation of having a big mouth. At first, I was extremely insulted that someone would say that about me. But after dwelling on it for a while, I had to admit I was somewhat of an outspoken individual. I was always expressing something or other, and I began to feel a little proud of my reputation, because far too long women have remained silent. Students have remained silent. People in general have remained silent. And I believe the time has come for everyone to start opening their big mouths wide and be heard. For after all, in the final analysis, what have we got to lose? Especially when we get in touch with the fact that so much is taken away from us when we remain silent. Another prime reason I've chosen to speak is to use myself as an example for other women who might be thinking of returning to school, who have children and are experiencing anxiety about even thinking of such a thing, or perhaps for those who have already returned after the frustrations of being away for so long. It is my belief you can do it if you just believe you have the right to do it. So many times I wanted to quit. So many times I just couldn't take it. But now that it's over, I'm glad, because I got in touch with my strength and realized the faith of having value and having faith in yourself. Another important strength I've developed over the past several years is the ability to ask people for help. If we only give each other a chance, you'd be amazed of all we can do for each other. Along with my own personal growth and development, during these past 5 years as a sociology major and with the help of a very close friend, have gotten in touch with and grown to better understand why many of us experience the world we live in as being alienating and out of our control. And why, as people, we have to struggle so hard to gain any type of control over our lives. At one time, I believed that the individual was totally responsible for his or her own destiny. But that idea has changed. I realize now there are tremendous social forces that govern, as well as condition human beings in a way as to control them. But I also realize it is not hopeless once we recognize that the social who brings upon that social control. And if we are willing to wage a struggle against having people control our lives and start taking a little bit control for ourselves. It is my belief that each one of us could ask, What can I do to aid in bringing about a more productive society? One where I have control in relation to what is going on and act upon whatever answer he or she comes up with. I almost have this fantasy. Imagine if each one of us just took a tiny goal and then got together collectively, what could happen? It would just be amazing. I almost had this fantasy that we were gathering. Instead of graduating from Sonoma State, we were graduating to another type of world, a world that was free of war and oppression and all the other things I could name. At this point, I want to thank the people who have helped me to recognize my potential as a person. A special thanks to all those women involved in the Women's Study Program here at Sonoma State, who presented me with the opportunity to express myself on other levels outside of the classroom experience. There is a tremendous power in sisterhood, and being involved with women has and continues to be a very powerful experience. Being part of or teaching a women's studies class here is an experience I hope every woman out there enjoys while they're at Sonoma State. A special thanks to all the great counselors in the Counseling Center here. It's been great working with you, along with knowing you're there and all that Kleenex and all that other good stuff. And how could we miss but thank the financial aid department? Because I know damn well if they weren't there, I wouldn't be up here. And also a special thanks to my daughter, Susan, who for the past 5 years has felt the frustration and anxieties of term papers, tests, and elections right along with me. However, it's not over, Susie. We still have several years to go, perhaps a lifetime. Who can say, since in the final analysis, education is an everyday experience? I would like to end now by reading a quote from Eugene Debs. Why I chose this is because it kind of sums up a lot of my feelings about the world today. And it kind of sums up my commitment and my feeling. In case nobody knows who Debs was, he ran 5 times under the socialist ticket in elections from 1900 to 1920. In fact, in the 1920 presidential election, he ran under the name of convict number 9653. He was in jail because he gave an anti-war speech. Years ago, I recognized my kinship with all living things, and I made up my mind that I was not one bit better than the meanest of the earth. I said then, and I say now, that while there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I was 35 years old. Boy, whew, gave me the chills listening to that. You know, if anybody's listening out there, my one fan out there, email me at elaine@womenspaces.com and tell me what you think about that particular speech. It was a very proud moment. I'm very proud to present it to you. And it's also my way of saying, look what an ordinary woman can do. Look what an ordinary woman can say. You know, when I went back to school, when I first got an AA, I thought, oh my God. When I got a BA, I says, oh, I don't believe this. And when I got a master's degree, I thought to myself, wow. But it was all because of community and people lifting me up and sending me on the way. And also because of all the women that stood before me, that got us to vote, that got us to have equal rights of some fashion, allowed us to go to school, to be educated, to get degrees, to be proud. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a musical break right now, and this is dedicated to all those women, the ones who came before us by Betsy Rowe and the Women's Coup, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Choir. And when we return, joining me on the phone from her home will be Janine Murray, Executive Director of Sonoma County Go Local, and we'll be talking about the importance of shopping and supporting your local merchants, and also we're going to give a little overview about banking and how to be a little bit safer. So let's go ahead and listen to the women that became, the shoulders that became, let's see, what's the name of that song? Let me go back here. Okay, it's called The Ones Who Came Before Us. Go ahead, Ken.
We reach the edge of an opening, a breaking through, and we know the situation calls for something new. There are times we cannot see what's just ahead, but still we know there is a life to be led, a path to follow, and we must go, and we must go.
Times that we get tired, but we have to remember the ones who came before us, that they made it through. I mean, I'm thinking of the civil rights movement when people had dogs on them. I mean, come on, we will get through all this. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. God, I can't even say my name this morning. Elaine B. Holtz. Joining me on the phone is one of my dear friends, Janine Murray. Janine, welcome to Women's Spaces. I'm telling you, I can't even talk this morning.
Well, I just loved hearing you talk from when you were 35 years old. That was amazing.
Can you imagine? You know, it's really interesting. You know, a story that people don't know about me is that I'm a very shy person. I mean, it's hard to believe, but I am. And before I could graduate Los Angeles City College, I had to take public speaking. And it was the first time, and I was 34 years old at the time, it was the first time that I ever, no, I was actually 32 at the time, it was the first time I ever spoke in front of a group, and I thought I was going to die. So when they, when the student body voted me to be one of the speakers, I mean, I was just shocked. So I'm glad you got to listen to it. I thought, you know, every once in a while, we have to kind of give ourselves a pat on the back and let other people know what we've done. So anyway,
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for listening and welcome. I mean, what wasn't that Nina Simone song? Oh, I shall be released. Oh, that's that's what I feel that we're going through now, a big releasing. Well, Janine, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces. And I want to do something a little different. Usually I introduce my guests and tell them all kinds of stuff. You know, you are the executive director of Go Local. You're also one of the co-publishers of that wonderful, wonderful magazine you folks put out, Go Local. Why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? How did you get involved with Go Local and also your member of the Hubbub group? Talk a little bit about that, how that is for you. You know, let's have a little community conversation here.
Sure. I actually I grew up in the East Bay and spent my childhood summers out in Casadero. My family had a two-room, very rustic cabin, and we were a really big family, so that was where our vacations, that's where our family could afford to take a vacation, would be to drive up to then pack into this cabin with a bunch of bunk beds and such. And I loved Casadero so much in Sonoma County that that when I got my teaching credential, I could teach anywhere in California, I came back to Sonoma County. And so my first career was as a science teacher in Healdsburg. And certain things changed in the district that caused me to make a change after 7 years. And then I went into business, into the private sector, and did 7 years of that. And I enjoyed many facets of that, but I really missed making a difference in the community. And so that's when I decided I wanted to tie it together. I wanted to work with local businesses and organizations, but also do good, you know, be part of doing some kind of community benefit, you know, that strengthens our community. And that's when I found Go Local, right, when it was forming. It had just formed. And just began volunteering and learning more and eventually grew to running it now.
Well, I have to give you a compliment. As you know, Ken and I are two of the co-founders. There were about six of us that brought Go Local in.
Yes.
And I believe it was Guayaquil was one of them. And there was a clothing.
I think Friedman's,
they were, yeah. They were very, very, very involved. And the clothing company, I'm trying to remember the
Indigenous.
Name. Indigenous. Yes, Indigenous.
Yeah.
They were very, very involved. And in fact, I did the first catalog for them, and I remember saying, you know, we got to stop this. We got to figure a way to offer a little bit more to people. And I really want you to know, I'm really proud that you took over and the success that they. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And the success that Go Local is actually enjoying, thanks to you and to the group that you have working with you. So talk a little bit about Go Local. Give us a little history. I mean, what is it all about? And also, just to let the folks know, we're going to talk a little bit about banking and how to be a little bit more safe with your banking and the importance of using local banks. And I will share my personal experience later on. I mean, thank God that we do have a Go Local group and that we can communicate with one another in the ways that we do. So talk a little bit about Go Local. What are some of the dreams and aspirations and its mission?
Sure, absolutely. Our mission is to basically create a stronger, help strengthen our local economy and community, because studies have shown across the United States and across the world that when their local businesses are resilient, when there's a lot of them, there's more support for nonprofits, there's more local decision making, and basically there's stronger communities and more wealth in the community as well. And so our aim is to help, and it's harder and harder to do that in this day and age of click an order from anywhere in the world and you get it in one day at a ridiculous price, which is convenient, and we do live in a global world, but Go Local's job is just to help remind people of that process of, you know, the cause and effect. If when we, you know, spend our hard-earned dollars locally, those dollars recirculate. I've just launched a new campaign just since COVID that I'm excited about that has like six main elements. And one is that it makes for a stronger community.
is that stronger, you know, like I just said, is there's usually higher levels of people being engaged in their community when there's more local businesses, better at solving problems. Imagine a business owner that lives in Iowa. They don't care about Sonoma County, but the business owners that live here care more about, you know, the decisions that we make. And it's also communities that have more local businesses actually are usually have more diverse and equitable communities. And they're, those communities are linked to higher incomes and less inequality. So this is about diversity as well. It's about jobs. More locally owned businesses creates more jobs.
But also yeah. Just to throw this in, also they send their your local business owner sends your his child or their child to the local schools, and there's all kinds of support there. They're on boards, all kinds, and they know the community. It's not like you're just coming in. They know who we are and what we
exactly
what we do. Well, you know, what are some of the things that are happening right now? I mean, right now, look what's happening on top of everything else. I mean, we got the pandemic, we have the election coming up. And now we're these fires that are happening. And a shout out to all those first responders. I mean, I just can't imagine being on the front lines, what it must be like. What are some of the challenges that people are meeting? And how are they coping? How do you feel that Sonoma County is doing on the local level?
Well, I think that, you know, we're being hit even more than some, you know, neighboring counties like Marin, for example, because we've gotten the fires and the floods, and, you know, they're dealing with the pandemic and the smoke, but boy, I mean, we've just been pummeled in every direction. But this is where it's not much of a consolation, but we'd be in a whole lot worse shape if we didn't have such a strong community and such a strong community of local businesses. There's so many amazing examples. I live in Healdsburg, and just hearing about, you know, some business owners who gave away over 1,000 burritos to the you know, firefighters working out here in the hills. And then he was just telling me about another business owner who just orders online. She's a business, and she's just ordering online burritos during the fires and just to bring them. And so she's just donating. She's supporting one local business to donate food to, you know, these first responders. It's so, and they're not asking for big thanks. They're just doing it. It's just what they do. And it's so inspiring. So the challenges are, I mean, that same business owner is also probably at 30 to 50% of their regular sales, but they're still doing this, you know, so they're really struggling to do what is natural to them, support their community, and to also shift things around and create outdoor dining when they didn't, you know, while maintaining all the safety and, you know, the retail stores. And I mean, there's just so much, there's so many challenges that are facing them. But boy, sometimes working with local businesses is like herding cats. But the positive side is that they're creative. Sometimes it's hard to manage a creative group, but that creativity is helping some of them to survive right now, which is the blessing.
Well, it also shows the importance of community, the importance of respecting each other. I mean, and you know, I always think when you have these issues that happen, it goes beyond color, religion, whatever your beliefs.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just all in this together, and we have to work to come out of it. Well, listen, the segment goes by really quick, and no matter how hard I try, and I want to talk a little bit about the importance of banking local, and you know, and I'll just tell my listeners a little story. I'm president of the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, and we just had a wonderful calendar that we produced, and for the first time in the chapter's history, we had over $1,000 in the bank. It was amazing. And we went to our bank statement, and boom, there we were. We were compromised. Somebody had taken out 3/4 of our money, and actually wrote another check. So if they would have gotten through this last time, they would have wiped out the whole account. And when we discovered it, I was shocked. You know, I was shocked. And the first thing I did, was call you. I said, Janine, I can't believe this is happening. You got to help me. And immediately you made a phone call to somebody. And the next morning, the CEO of Community Bank called me and said, Elaine, the first thing out of his mouth is, listen, you're a local person. Don't worry. We're going to take care of you. That's covered. You know, I mean, he reassured me, and I just said, oh, my God, thank you. And when I hung up the phone, I realized had I been dealing with a corporate bank, and nothing against corporate banks. I mean, I'm not trying to say that. But if I were dealing with a corporate bank, I could maybe have gotten the bank manager, but I never would have been able to talk to the CEO and never would have had as fast action as that I had because I was we were dealing with the local bank. So let's talk a little bit about it. And right now, particularly, there's so many compromises around banking, and that's why I believe it's very important that people bank locally. What is your thought on that?
I so agree. It doesn't seem like it, but where we bank is the number one most impactful decision that we could make that affects our community and our local economy. And you just don't think about it in that way because we go to the grocery store so much and we do all of our other shopping. But where we bank is huge as far as the impact in our community and economy. And what you just named, your example, is just the perfect example of those reasons that set community banks and credit unions apart. And that is, like, they can make quick decisions. They're a part of their local community, so they're better at decision making. They also tend to be more innovative. Like this bank you're talking about, which is actually Community First Credit Union, they just launched touchless debit and credit cards, where all you have to do is just put it in front of the machine so that, you know, because of the risk of COVID, that kind of thing, they were quick to add in that innovation to help with people who are, you know, afraid need to shop and get out there, but don't want to be touching a whole lot of stuff. And those local banks and credit unions, they have a local focus. One of the biggest financial impacts that we don't think about much if we don't own a business is they're more likely to lend money to small businesses to help support them. So they provide more than 60% of all the small business loans in the United States, even though they probably only make like 25% of all, you know, business banks. So they're doing the work that truly supports our local economy in helping businesses during hard times or helping them grow.
Well, one thing I found out through this experience, and it's a suggestion I want to make to all my listeners, is learn online banking because you can check. And also you can call your branch and have them check for you. I mean, there's all, it's a whole different relationship. It really is. Well, I believe you have something coming up. Am I mistaken? There's some sort of event or magazine. There's something that you have on the burner. What is that?
No, not really events. We do have things that are helpful. We're doing a lot of things to help support local businesses, helping them just, you know, gather the tools they need to get customers since not as many of them are coming through their door. So we have some business events that are like Zoom webinars and such, and that can be found on our website on the events page. But really, we're focused on this campaign now. We're really focused on doing everything we can to help support local businesses during, especially during the holidays. Because some of these little retail shops, they count on 40% of their sales for the whole year in the holidays. And so we really want to work to help remind people to shop local when you can. It might not be the most convenient thing. It might not, you know, get delivered in 2 hours to your door. It might get delivered the next day or two, whatever. Or pick up. You could pick it up. But we're really going to be focusing on helping businesses and helping remind the local residents that what a huge difference it makes when you can shift a little bit of your, you know, the needs, especially during the holidays for shopping, shift that to local.
Well, we've just come to the end of our segment, so give us our website where they can get a hold of you.
Yes, at golocal.coop. It's like we're a cooperative, so it's golocal.coop.
And remember that all that information will be on www.womenspaces.com. And good. another thought I had, you know, with the pandemic and the fires and all that, maybe the lesson is we got to slow down, get to know our neighbor, get to know our community, shop locally. What's the rush, folks? You know, it's like this election. It's got to be, we got to have the results tomorrow or 24 hours. No, it might take a week or two. So what? In order to get things done, in order to make things happen. Well, listen, Janine, thank you. Janine Murray, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you for all
the
good
work you do.
Thank
you for
having me. Yes, and
you're an inspiration.
Oh, I am?
Yes, you are. To hear you from decades ago and just to hear that same fiery spirit in your voice all these years later, it's just to think of how much you have done in your life and continue to do, and you're just such an asset to our community.
Oh, thank you so much, Janine. It takes one to know one, my love. It takes one to know one. Well, thank you so much. Well, my listeners, you know, it looks like we're coming to the end of our segment, and I want to remind everybody that Women's Spaces will be on again at 11 o'clock this evening. And you can listen. I mean, I'm really excited I get to listen to myself. And remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And you know something? All these fires and the pandemics and everything that's happening is because we did not take and pay attention to the fact that we are in a global crisis, a global warming weather, whatever you want to call it. And we have to look at it and do something. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
To give you courage, and who will surely make you stronger, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life, but she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 28, 2020.